See if we can make my microphone work. Good morning. How are you? Woo! Can you hear me? That's my subtle way of getting your attention. You like that? Make rolling thunder. Yes. Is this going to be okay, or do I need to switch my mic?
No, we'll get it.
They'll get it. All right. Our sound guys. Give me a round of applause for our sound guys. Woo! Well, good morning. I'm so glad that you're here. Maybe we'll get it. I'm so glad that you're here today as we kick off a brand new series through the book of Luke. In fact, if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, you can pull those out and turn to Luke chapter 1. We're going to dig into the scripture in just a moment. But I'm glad that you're here as we begin a series really all about the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. It's going to be a fantastic journey. It's going to take us many, many weeks to get through the book, but I'm excited about it. Today, before we begin, as you're opening up your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, I want to ask you a question that I think is really important for us as we kick this off. And the question is this: how would your life change if you knew and believed that you were created with a purpose, that your life had a meaning, that God had something in mind for you in your life? How would that change your perspective? How would that change the way you looked at the world and the way that you lived every single day of your life? Because my hope and prayer over the course of this series, and we've called this whole series, I think I've got it on the screen, ready and go. There it is. No. I'm calling it made for a purpose. I'm just messing with all the people back in the booth today. But we've called it made for a purpose. And that is the big idea that I want us to talk about today, because I believe God wants us to understand this idea that he has made us with a purpose. And I believe that the circumstances of our birth, the situations that each and every one of us have gone through, we've all got a story, don't we? We've got a story of what God has done in our life and where we've been and what we've gone through. And some of us can look at the circumstances and, man, sometimes we're ashamed of the things we've done. We've made mistakes, or we've gone the wrong way, or we've done things that we wish I would have done differently. But those circumstances make us who we are. And those details, often which the details that we don't have control over, like where we're born and the kind of family we were born into, those details, I believe, God was setting you up for the purpose that he's created you for. So as we've gone through our lives, I believe God has created us with a purpose. And now, I'm not one that believes that God causes bad things to happen to good people or innocent people, but here's one thing I do know, and one thing I believe, that the God of the universe, he knows all of our days. He knows our good days and our bad days. He knows when we're making mistakes and when we're doing life his way. And he loves us in spite of all of those days. And God of the universe has a purpose for our lives in spite of any more sort of mistakes we've made. And he's got something in mind for us. And so as we kick off this series of Luke, looking at Luke 1 through 5, I want to give you the main idea today. And she's already put it on the screen, so you all got a sneak peek of it. But here it is. Here's the first big idea: that God has a purpose and a plan for your life that was preordained before your birth. Before you were even born, God knew what he wanted to do in your life and through your life to make a difference in this world. And that's kind of a big idea, isn't it? That idea that the God of the universe, he knew all of our days before one had even been lived. And he knew what we were going to be here for. He knew when we were going to be here. And he's created us with a purpose. And if we'll come to grips with this reality, one that the Bible emphatically and repeatedly teaches us, I believe it's going to change everything. It'll change the way we look at our circumstances. It'll change the way we look at things that don't go our way, right? We find ourselves on the side of the road with a flat tire. It's going to change the way we look at even those situations if we'll understand that everything of life is God's got a purpose through it and can use it for something great. And today, I want us to look at a pretty supernaturally charged birth. Some of you have given birth. You've seen that. I've experienced 5 live births with my children. I think they're all pretty miraculous that moms do that. You guys are my heroes, and I thank God for moms. But today we want to look at a very miraculous birth, the birth of a man who would later become known as John the Baptist. And the book of Luke begins with his birth. And here's a man that the Old Testament Bible had prophesied would come. that he was going to come and prepare the way for the Messiah, prepare people's hearts to receive this Savior, this Jesus. What I love about God, I love many things about God, but one of the things I love about God is God chooses to use pretty unusual people. And as we look at the life of John over the next many weeks, we'll see he's kind of a quirky guy. He's kind of an unusual guy. He's character. Right? Some of you guys are characters, and I'm looking at you, Patricia, now. Some of you guys are characters. We got quirky personalities or fun, and that's what I love about God is he uses some of us, sometimes people that we would never expect. And Luke's gospel begins telling us both the story of John the Baptist's birth and Jesus' birth, kind of side by side. And I believe it does that for a reason. And the details are told in parallel because their two births are a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. In other words, God told his people, hey, I'm going to send someone to prepare the way, and I'm going to send my Messiah. And God had told this to his people, and they were waiting, expectantly waiting. God, are you going to ever send this guy to come? And so here they are. Now, as we get to Luke chapter 1, before the birth of John the Baptist, God's people had been waiting for 400 years. To hear a word from God, to hear something from him. In fact, after rejecting the voice of God again and again, as God's people did, they were without a prophet for 400 years. In other words, the God that had been speaking to them for generations through prophets and judges and kings suddenly was no longer speaking to his people. In fact, some of the writings of the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament, people would say, our prophets have all fallen asleep. They're all gone. They're waiting for a prophet of God so they can hear from God. And so there they were in this 400-year gap between hearing God speak through a prophet, and then something happens. And then something changes everything. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through 6. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. And I'm going to read a couple verses this morning. It says, when Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes. Say righteous with me.
Righteous.
They were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. So I want to just stop right there for just a moment because last week we talked about how Luke's account of the gospel of Jesus was there with great historical emphasis. God, he wanted to make sure we understood that this is not just a story, but this is history. This is something that actually happened. And he gives us this example. He gives us, he said, during the time when Herod was king. Now, Herod was a king in the land for many, many years. In fact, history records outside of the Bible that Herod was a king in Judea between 40 BC and 4 BC. So this could have taken place sometime during that time, but what's important is that this is an event that actually happened. This isn't just a fairy tale or a story. This is an event that actually happened. And the Bible gives us this story of this man, Zechariah. And our story really centers around him as the father of this man, John the Baptist. And he was a pretty good guy, wasn't he? I mean, he's a priest, so you'd think he's probably a pretty guy, good guy. But he was pretty ordinary in a lot of respects. He wasn't like a high priest or someone famous. He wasn't like the pastor of a megachurch or anyone that of any ordinary or any super experience. But he was a priest, and he was a man that had given his life to serve God and had given his whole life to doing that. And as a Jewish priest, he would have gone every year a couple of times to the temple. And the temple was the place where the Jews would gather together and worship God, and it was the holiest place in the Jewish faith. And in those days, the service of the temple would have been divided into 24 different divisions or groups of priests. And each provided the needs of the temple for 1 week at a time, twice a year. So I'm just kind of giving you a little picture of what this would have looked like. So as a priest, he would have been serving in his hometown, and then twice a year for a week, he would have gone to the temple to serve the needs of the temple, lighting incense and cleaning up messes and offering sacrifices and doing all the things that a priest were to do. And this was his turn to go and serve at the temple. And he would go there again for a week at a time, twice a year. Kind of sounds like the Army Reserves, right? And like go do your job the rest of the year, and then once a week or once a year, or actually twice a year for a week, you'd go and serve. But there's some nuggets of truth I want us to glean from this passage as we dig into it. The first one is to take, if you're taking notes, is this. To fulfill a life of purpose, we've got to consistently follow God. To fulfill a life of purpose, we've got to consistently follow God. See, there's something that I think sometimes we gloss over when we look at the supernatural birth of John the Baptist, and that's this, that this man, Zechariah, and his wife, they were walking with God for a long period of time. They are serving God year after year faithfully. And as we'll soon learn, their life wasn't necessarily easy. It's not like they had everything all together. They didn't have everything they imagined they would have as young newlyweds, I'd imagine. But they trusted in God and they walked in God. And the most important thing about our scripture today is it tells us that they were righteous, right? And they weren't just righteous in the eyes of man, but what does the Bible say? It says they were righteous in the eyes of God. Don't you know there's a difference? That when we come to church on Sunday, I mean, we put on our nice clothes and we try and, you know, we leave all of our coarse language somewhere else. Like we can impress people, right? But there's something altogether different between doing that and worshiping God and allowing God to say, you're righteous. There's a difference. And I believe we should be consistent both before God and before man. There's something important about that. But these guys weren't just putting on a good show and faking it till they made it. But the Bible says that God saw them as righteous. They were righteous in the eyes of God. And they walked with God for years and years. The description of this man is that he was a pretty old guy. He was pretty old in age. And there are times that we're walking with God, just waiting. Waiting for something profound to happen. You ever find yourself there? You're like, God, I'm still going in the same direction. I'm still following you, but I don't see anything happening, right? That's exactly where these two guys were. And there are seasons sometimes of our lives that can feel like, God, are you there? There's not much going on. I'm following you faithfully, and I'm doing what you've called me to do, but I'm not seeing any fruit. I'm not seeing anything happening. And sometimes there's even seasons where it feels like not only is nothing that I'm hoping for happening, but I feel like I'm in a hard season where bad things seem to be happening. In fact, James, the book of James talks about this in James 1:2. It says that we should count it all joy, my brothers, when we meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. See, there's a spiritual principle at work here. And there are seasons where we're not going to feel like there's a lot going on. There are seasons where, man, we even feel like we're going through trials or difficulty or things that are harder than we thought we could understand or harder than we thought we could take. Seasons where, man, this is my plan, and I feel like I'm going this way. I'm on my plan B, right? I'm on the B trail. I had a plan A for my life, God, and it was this, and now I'm going this way. But what the Bible teaches us and tells us is that when we will trust God and walk through those seasons, God will produce in us steadfastness. And that's what I believe a quality of Zechariah and his wife, that they were steadfast. They were trusting in God, even though they didn't see exactly what they were hoping for. And as a result, God was able to do something in them great. And I believe God wants to do the same thing in your life as well. And that's exactly the sort of season that they were in. As we look at the scripture some more, Luke 1:7 continues. It says, they had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive. And they were both very old. Say very old. Very old. Seems like kind of a cruel thing to say, but they were very old. They weren't just old, they were very old. And one day Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. So it was his chance to be at the temple for that week. And as was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. Big day, big job. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. Now, I want you just to imagine this. Zechariah's called to the temple for his week of service through that year. And he gets picked for a very important job. He's there doing the Lord's work and trying to serve God and doing those things. And all the while throughout the years as he's going to the temple year in and year out, he's just waiting. He's praying, God, Send me a child. I need a child. God, I want that for my life. And we learn later that they'd been praying for that. But to this point, they had nothing to show for it. Now, let me just say this. This isn't just an ancient problem. It's something that even with our advances in medicine happened. But it's also not the only kind of longing that we have. We all have things in our lives that we're longing for. Maybe something that we're dreaming about. We're praying, God, would you allow me to have breakthrough in this area? God, would you help me to see something that I can't see yet in this area? We long for something. We hope for something. We dream for something. And there's times where we're going to ask God for those things. Let me ask you, what are you waiting for? What is that thing in your life? For Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were praying, God, send us a child. But what is it that God has, that you've been longing, you're praying, God, send this in my life, breakthrough in this area, do this thing in my life. And as we read their story, I want to encourage you and challenge you to follow in their steps, to stick close with God. See, because in the middle of that, it would have been easy for them to throw in the towel and say, forget this, I'm done. God, I'm over. I walked like 3 years. Just 3 years waiting for them. They were very old, all right? They were very old. I don't know how many years they were praying for this thing to take place in their lives, but it didn't happen. And they were just walking with God. God, I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to keep walking in the direction you've called me to. And I want to challenge and encourage you. Stick close to God. Walk with him. See, God always answers our prayers. You maybe have heard this before. He'll answer our prayers. Some of our prayers, he's going to say yes. Yes, that's good. Here you go. I'll say yes to that prayer. Some of our prayers, he's going to say no. That's not good for you. That wouldn't be good. I know you're asking for a Lamborghini, but that's not really what you need, my son. That would kill you. You would die, right? I know you. You're not good with fast cars. But other of our prayers, I believe God answers not yet. And in the moment, we don't feel like we hear that word, not yet, from the Lord, but I believe God answers those things and says, I've got a timing that's a little bit different than yours. I've got a plan that is a little bit bigger than the one that you had laid out for your life, that's got a greater and deeper purpose than you ever would have expected. In other words, it brings us to our next point, is that the purpose and plans of God unfold on his timeline, not on ours. Now, I know sometimes we wish we had veto power over God, right? God, can we just bring up the timeline a little bit? But God's plans and purposes happen on his timeline, not on ours. And for these two faithful followers of God, God didn't answer their prayer for years and years. Or he did. He said, not yet. But I would imagine as we walked through those, as they were now very old, walking in the service of God, they're like, God, why have you never answered our prayer? And what I believe the Lord was speaking to them was not yet. It was as if God was saying to these two precious people, I've got a plan for your life. And when the fullness of time has come, I'm going to bring you a son. I'll bring you something that you never expected. My wife and I decided to wait to have children. I think it was about 8 years, right? About 8 years of our marriage. And I'm really thankful we did. Not just because we had 8 awesome years of silence, right? When we could just go anywhere we wanted to. House stayed neat, right? There was no broken walls from boys and someone else did it, right? Well, I'm glad, but not just for that, but because if we had, I had children 8 years earlier, I wouldn't have Ezra, and I wouldn't have Ethan, and I wouldn't have Eli or Evan or Ezekiel. I wouldn't have the boys that I have. I would have had some other kids, and I'm not sure I would have even liked those ones, right? Of course I would have. But I'm thankful that God sent me those ones. That my Ezra is here, because in the fullness of time, that's what God had desired for us. And for Elizabeth, she wanted a child much earlier. She had no idea that God had purposed and planned to send her little John in her latter years, when she was not just a little old, not just middle aged, not just kind of old. She was very old. But God had purposed to send her little John, John the Baptist. And there are things that sometimes we can only understand in reverse, right? That as we wait and we seek the Lord and we walk with God and we wait, we say, God, why? God, why not now? Why not now? And then 5 minutes later, but why not now? And God says, sometimes there's things we'll only understand in reverse. And I would imagine as the events unfolded of this story, she would have looked back and said, because I wouldn't have had John. because I wouldn't have had that child. I wouldn't have gone through those circumstances that I went through. It's as if, I believe, sometimes in our moments of desperation, when we just want an answer from God, we just need an answer from God, he's whispering to us, not yet, my son. Not yet, my daughter. It's not time yet. It's not time for the plans that I have for you. You've got to wait. It'll be so much better if you wait for my plan, if you wait for my purpose in your life. See, the language used here echoes several other stories that we see recorded in this book, the Bible, of great mothers of the faith. It says of Elizabeth, she had no children. It's the same language used of Sarah, same language used of Rebecca, same language used of Rachel and of Samson's mom, of all of these people that would birth children that would be change makers and influencers and people of great significance. And I don't believe it's by mistake that that happens. See, in our waiting, sometimes I believe, well, first of all, when we wait, we're in good company. Because we see men and women of faith waiting patiently for the Lord, walking steadfastly. But in our waiting and in our patience, I believe some of us can short-circuit the plans of God. And we see stories of that in the Bible as well, of people that weren't waiting to content with waiting for God's best, and so they decided to make their own way. And in so doing, I believe sometimes we miss out on the blessings of God, never knowing what he had in mind for us by taking out that hasty shortcut. But Zechariah was given a great privilege this day in the temple, wasn't he? Again, this is a big day for him. As he stands in the temple and he goes to serve there, the order of the priests would have gone to serve there again once or twice a year for about a week at a time. And there were some jobs that were considered extra holy jobs. Like they were like big jobs. Not everyone got to do these and no one took them lightly. And one of these jobs was to go light the incense in the holy place inside the temple. This was not just a place that anyone would just wander around and goof around. The kids, you know, sometimes in church, kids just run around. This wasn't one of those kind of places. This was a place where they believed that the presence of God was, because God was in that place. And so this job was a really big one. And it was believed there was about 18,000 priests that were in the service of the temple. And so this particular job was a job that they said, God, we want to really seek you about who should go do this job. Because we want to make sure that the person that does this job, man, they're right with you. They've got no unconfessed sin in their life. They're not like just totally wandered away from you, but they are holy. In fact, this was such a serious job, they would cast lots, which means they would throw dice. They would say, God, we want you to choose the man that's going to go in. And the man that was chosen to go in fact, it was believed that they would only serve in this capacity once for their entire lifetime. So once in my entire lifetime, I would get chosen to go into the holy place and to clean out the burnt incense and to put new incense in there and light it. And because it was such a serious job, something that they took with such reverence, I only got this chance once in my life. And so this was this old man's chance, right? He had been going to the temple year after year and waiting for his turn. He never got picked. He never got chosen. And this one day, he gets chosen to go into the holy place. Once in a lifetime opportunity. And it was actually recorded, tradition tells us that this job was so serious that they were worried that, man, if you walked into this place with sin or with something wrong in your life, God might just decide, you're done, I'm taking you out. And so they would actually tie a rope around the guys that would go into this holy place. And the idea was this, hey, if God decides you've done something wrong and you die, we don't want to have to come in after you, so we're just going to pull your body out, right? So imagine this. So this is Zechariah, it's a big day for him. He's like, I'm excited, it's my turn. And then the guys come up to him and said, hey, bud, we're going to tie this rope around you in case you die. That way we can pull you out. We're all going to be out here. We're pulling for you, right? We're praying for you. And we're really believing that you're going to come out alive, but just in case, the rope is here, okay? Good luck. We'll see you soon, maybe, right? I mean, you imagine this, the stress of this moment. Like, maybe we'll see you in a few minutes. And that's where he sees an angel of God. Our story continues. Luke 1:11. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the incense altar. I mean, just imagine this, like you're freaking out. Like, okay, God, does he have a sword? Is he going to chop me in half? Like, what's going to happen here, God? Zechariah was shaken. He was overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. I would be too. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. And here's the next point I want us to glean from this scripture is that when God reveals his purpose to you, trust him. Trust him. There's going to be things that happen in our lives that are terrifying, that are bigger than we can understand, that don't happen in the way that we expect. But when God reveals his purpose to you, trust him. Because there's things that will be terrifying. And God was pulling back the curtain here a little bit. He was showing Zechariah that his life, the long life that he'd already lived, right? He was a very, very old man. I added an extra very, but he was an old guy. This life that he had lived, that he might have been thinking, man, this was all lived in vain. This was all purposeless. But what God was showing him is that, no, his life did have a purpose. Not only did he still have a purpose and a plan for his life, but he'd given him a place to invest in the next generation. And this is something that I want to pause for a second, because I think this is something so hugely important. See, the psalmist tells us that children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. In other words, I love that visual, not only because it sounds cool, right? Arrows in the hand of a warrior, but it gives us this picture that as an archer, I stand here and the arrow goes far beyond where I'm going to go. And I believe that's a great picture of what God wants to do. As parents, we raise next generation of this planet. But it's also true for those of us who serve in investing in the lives of children and investing in the lives of youth, is that we serve the next generation. And we need those spiritual aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas, spiritual moms and dads that can be like family to the next generation, pointing them in all the ways that they should go. There's something powerful and profound in that, because when we invest in the next generation, we're building a world that we'll never see, right? I'll say that again. When we invest in them, we're building a world that we won't see, because they're going to go beyond us. When we're long gone, those kids are going to keep doing and keep moving and keep changing this world. And so as we invest our lives in them, I believe that we change future generations. And what God was reminding of this man, of this truth, is that he had a plan for his life. And he had a plan for the next generation. And let me tell you a secret. It's not really a secret. God knows about your past, and he still loves you. And God knows your future. He knows all the days of your life, and he has a purpose for you. Now, you might hear me say that and say, Pastor, that's just your opinion. You think God has a purpose? That's just your opinion. I want to show you a couple more scriptures. Because not only was it true in this man's life, in John's life, that God was birthing him with a purpose, but God says the same thing about our lives. Ephesians 1:4 says this, and we kind of talked about it in worship, which is great. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Let me ask you the question. When did God choose you? Was it after you really did something great? Was it after, man, like, all right, he finally got that promotion. He climbed that last rung of the corporate ladder. Now, woo, welcome, my son, right? Does he say that? When did God choose us? Even before he made the world. That is amazing. Not after we did something great, not after we accomplished something, but before we had even lived a day at all, God knew us and knew about us. He was thinking about you. He was thinking about me before the world was even formed. He chose us to be part of his family, to be redeemed. And all that we've gone through, and sometimes I think we think, man, there's no way God knows what I've been through. There's no way he sees what I've already gone through, but the Bible says that he did. He knows every mistake we've made. He knows every part of our journey up until this point, and he knows the days beyond today. But not only that, not only did God choose us before the foundation of the world, but he created us with purpose. Ephesians goes on in chapter 2, verse 10, and says, we are his masterpiece. Say masterpiece. For we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things. Read those two words with me. He planned for us long ago. Who planned our good works, my friends? God planned them. You're a masterpiece. In fact, turn to the person next to you and say, you're a masterpiece. You're pretty special. See, the Bible says that you were created by God, and God doesn't make junk. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't screw up. You were not an accident, although someone else might have told you that in your life. God says, you're not a mistake. I knew you'd be here, and I knew you would be now. And I've created you anew in Christ Jesus if you put your faith in him. I've created you anew for something. I haven't just saved you from something. Sometimes we think, man, I put my faith in Jesus. I've been saved from sin. I've been saved from hell. But God says, I didn't just save you from something. I've saved you for something. I've created you with purpose to do something with your life, to make a difference in this world. And God says that he's created us to fulfill the purposes and plans that he's prepared for us. And let me just say, this takes all the pressure off. I mean, sometimes we think, man, I got to perform for God. I'm like that little dancing monkey. I've got to perform for God and put my little bucket out there. But God says, there's no pressure. I've already created good works for you to do. All you got to do is walk in them, right? Can I walk? How many can walk? I mean, we can walk. It says he's created us, those things that we could walk in them, and it takes all the pressure off. But and not just in church, right, when we think it's holy time, right? And like, all right, it's church day. This is when God wants to do something. But in all of life, God has good plans for us. And there's something to be said about taking intentional time to be with God, to be in the Bible, praying and seeking him. And those are powerful, life-changing times if we'll schedule them. But God wants to meet us in the normalcy of our life as well, in those rhythms of everyday life. But we have to be willing to allow his interruption. And that's, I believe, what was happening here. Zechariah learned this as well. Our fourth point is this. We've got to make ready our hearts to receive from God. We have to prepare ourselves to hear from God, to receive from him. And there's so much we could take away from just this first little section of the story. But one thing I believe stands out from the preordained purpose was this, that his son, Zechariah's son John, was coming with a job. And his job was to make ready the coming of Jesus Christ. And just want to say this clearly. You have to make ready your heart to receive from God. There's no way around it. We've got to prepare ourselves and say, God, I want to hear from you. I want to receive from you. I want to hear from you. In fact, the Bible tells us, the scripture records, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. But we've got to open the door. We've got to open and let him in. We've got to prepare ourselves to receive from God. Luke 1:17, my last little bit of scripture, I think. All people said amen. He says this. It says, of John the Baptist, he will be a man in the spirit and power of Elijah, and he will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. See, the God of the universe was setting the stage. He was preparing for the fulfillment of his great plan to send his son Jesus. And before he did that, he knew that there needed to be one to prepare the way, to prepare the hearts of people to say, you've got to be ready to receive from God. Now, sometimes I feel like that's my job as a pastor, is to say, hey, we've got to get ready. We've got to prepare our hearts, because God is there. He's willing. He's able. He's ready. He's saying, I'm standing here. I'm knocking. But we've got to prepare our hearts to receive. Now, for 400 years, the people had ignored the words of God. They had scorned the prophets. And for years before that, the prophets had spoken and they had done one of these. You know, na, 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 I can't hear you. They had chosen to block out the voice of God. And so this man was coming to say, hey, you have to get ready. You have to prepare yourselves to hear from God. Because you and I, we can be at the right place at the right time and miss out on what God wants to do because we're not ready. Did you know that? We can be at the right place at the right time. God's trying to set us up for a divine appointment to do something miraculous, something amazing, something powerful. And instead of listening to the voice of God, we've got our headphones in. You know what I mean? I'm not metaphoric headphones. You can hear from God with headphones on. But what I'm saying is that we're not listening. We're not prepared. We're not ready for God to break into our plans, to wreck our plans so that his plans might happen. We've got to be available to God. And sometimes we need people in our lives like John to remind us to get ready. And that was his purpose. In fact, my wife just shared this last week, a story of how this played out in her life. Would you come on up? I'm going to have her share. By the way, she is a superhero, raising 5 children and being married to me. She always deserves a round of applause. She doesn't like that, but I wanted her to share. She shared a story of how she had a plan this last week. And with 5 boys, we never really have a plan that happens, but a story of how God showed up. It was a kind of a divine appointment. So I want you to share.
Yeah, well, many of you know that I have five boys. They're all seven and under. And so that alone is a feat to get out of the house. But on Monday mornings, we have our co-op. We homeschool. So we have a co-op that we go to. And it's always 10:30 to noon. But for some reason, I had it in my head, it was 10 o'clock. So all morning, I was like, okay, we're going to fix an easy breakfast. I look in the cabinets. There's nothing easy. So I'm like, well, I guess I'll make homemade muffins or something. So I start to make those. I'm doing the homework with the kids and stuff. And my muffins get ready about 9:55. I grab them, like, hot out of the oven. I throw the kids in the car, tell them, grab your shoes, put them on in the car, because we just didn't have time. So we get to the park, and I'm looking around, and, like, none of my friends' cars are there. And I'm like, oh, no, is this the right park? What did I do? So I get on my phone. I'm looking, right park, but I'm 30 minutes early, which for me is unusual. So I'm like, well, I turned around to Ezra. I said, hey, I guess you guys can go play on the park for 30 minutes. Go for it. So they all hop out of the car, and they run, and they're on the play structure, and I'm getting the baby out last. And so I make my way over there, and I see this woman. She's an older woman, and she's just grinning watching my boys. And she was just, like, so filled with joy just watching my boys. And then I notice she has a dog, and she starts talking to a couple of them, so I walk a little closer, and she looks up at me and she goes, are these all yours? I said, yeah. She goes, oh my goodness. They're just so blessed. Oh my goodness, they're so blessed. I had three brothers and one sister, and she starts to tell me about her life. And so I just sat there. I talked to this woman, her name was Alice, for about 30 minutes until my co-op got there. And she told me, I didn't actually talk to her, she talked to me for 30 minutes. She shared with me her life story about how she just lost her older brother this year to cancer, and how her heart was just hurting for that loss. She longed to have her brother. And she told me about their childhood, how they remembered playing on the beach. And, like, she just said watching my kids reminded her of her time as a child. And I could tell she was lonely. I said, do you have any family in town? She said, yeah, I have. One of my sisters lives here. She's my older sister. And, yeah, she doesn't come out very much. And she has this big house, and it's just her. And she was going on, like, telling me this. But she said, I live right up the street in a retirement apartments. And I come here every day, like, four or five times a day because I have to get out. And I can tell you, through discernment, it was because she wants to talk to people. She's lonely. She was so lonely, and I just said, Lord, what can I do? So I just sat there and talked to her, and then I said, hey, what are you doing next Sunday night for Thanksgiving? We're having a special thing at church. It's the night of thanks. I'd love to have you come join me. And she kind of lit up, and I said, here, I'll give you my information, and even if you need a ride, I'll come pick you up. I would love to have you there. And so I had this plan that I was going to be late, apparently, to my my co-op with my kids. I was rushing. I was just all, it was all about me and what we were doing. And I got there, and God totally changed my plans. And I had this 30 minutes just to listen and be present with this woman that so needed a friend to listen to her heart hurting for her brother. And so that's just a very simple story of how God used me in that. And I think he does that with all of us all the time. We run across people, and maybe it's just like a little voice in the back of your mind that just says, hey, I should talk to them, or maybe I should pray with them. Just be listening, be aware of what God might want to do, because I think daily, if we make ourselves available, he is going to use us in those small ways, but those small ways are very big in the lives of other people.
Man, would you stay up here? You know, I think I wanted to share that story because I think sometimes we have our own ideas, right? Zechariah and his wife had their plan. God, why isn't it happening the way we want it to happen? There's all these things that aren't going the way we hoped or expected or wanted. And I believe God will use the season that we're in and the story that we find ourselves a part of. But we've got to be available to him. We've got to say, God, I want you to take my plan B or plan C or plan D or whatever plan it is. I feel like I'm running late. I feel like I had a plan. But God, would you open my eyes to see the people around me that you've sent me to be a part of? And I believe God opened up that door for her to have that conversation, to be a light in a season of this woman's life that's a little bit dark. And I believe God wants to do the same thing in our lives. I want Pastor Rebecca to share or to pray with us and to pray as we respond to the Lord and just to pray a prayer of blessing over us, because I believe God wants to give us eyes to see those kind of divine appointments everywhere we go, that we would be a people that would make ready the way for God to show up. because God wants to show up. He's present. He's omnipresent. He's in all places. But he wants us to be ready to receive from him. So would you pray for us and bow your heads with me as we pray and respond to the Lord.